This is Guildcast, episode 13 for February 5th, 2006. Welcome back to Guildcast, everyone. I'm your host, Sean, and I have kind of a short show for you this time. The topic I was going to talk about, I actually haven't really had enough time to get together properly, so I'm going to hold off on that until next week. But I still have a lot to talk about. Mainly, I'm going to go over the game updates and a little bit more about some questions I've gotten emails on. I got a voicemail message that I'm going to go over, and a few other things. So it's still going to be a lot of information in this episode, just not really a main topic. But first off, I wanted to say hi to a few people in the game, such as Blah God, Pyro Bunny, Bathel Nasp, Tiagi Ryu, and Caden Tregor. I've gotten quite a few emails from people that I wanted to read on the show. One of them actually from last week that I forgot to read on the show, and I promised him I would. It's from Corey, and he asks me about the armor that I have on my Warrior Walmart Special. And he asked what kind it is and what the difference is between that and the 15K armor I have and regular Drox armor. Well, basically what it is I have the top half is the Gladiator's 15K, the gloves, the chest piece, and then the boots and the leggings are plate mail. I got those from Granite Citadel and Marhan's Grotto, and that's where you get your 15K armor for any profession. And the helmet is actually it's just a regular Drox plate mail helmet. I actually like the way that looked more than the 15K plate mail helmet. Plus, it saved me a few bucks. And the reason I chose the Gladiator armor, a lot of people have asked me this, is it's just basically gives you extra energy. Picking your armor is a matter of what you think you're going to use it for. Like, there's ones that protect more against piercing attacks, there's ones that protect more against, you know, regular physical damage, there's ones with higher AC, things like that. And the benefit of the Gladiator's armor is the fact that it gives you more energy. And with someone like a Warrior who only has, you know, 20 energy, that really makes a big difference. And actually, I'm kind of weird about armor, because I like to customize my characters as far as, like, my Necro and my Warrior. I kind of planned it ahead, what they would look like, you know, kind of got this thing together where I thought it would look really cool, aside from just a normal full set of, you know, say one kind of thing, like all gladiators, all plate mail. I like to kind of mix and match, make it look a little bit more unique, I guess you could say. So thanks for that email, Corey. And let's see, I got another email from Mr. Monkington. He has a thing he does on GameAmp, which I have a link to GameAmp on my website, but they have a thing called the GameAmp Graphics Shop, and I'm going to put a link to that on these show notes. But what they do is he basically makes signatures and avatars for forums. You know, you give him your name, and he'll put your name in there, and he'll put your picture in there, put it together, and make a little graphic. And he does all this for free. I think it's pretty neat. I also have a link to some of his stuff on the message board with some examples in there, too, so you can check that out. Another email I got is from Albert, and he says, "Hi, I'm Albert, and I'm from Florida, and I was wondering what farming build, in your opinion, is the best, and which build do you use for farming?" Well, Albert, I don't really do a lot of farming, and when I do, it's usually the underworld, and it's usually with guildies. And usually, I try not to stick to one thing all the time. I like to mix things up and try out new things. And when I go with guildmates, when we go farming, I usually find out what they need, and nine times out of ten, I'm playing a monk. So I don't really have a lead farming character that I use, you know, for that main purpose. And the next email I got from Zarman Firebred, and he mentions a little bit about the Fissure of Woe armor. Tells me a little bit about it. How he says if the armor, if you buy everything, is about 1.5 million gold. He says, almost everyone in the game probably has about half of that if they're rich. I've been trying to farm UW for Ectos. If you can get the Ectos and Obsidian Shards, then it's only about 75k, much more affordable. I was just wondering if you had some tips on how to get this armor. Well, I don't have the armor myself, I really don't have an interest in it. I like the armors I have. A lot of people get it just, you know, just to say they have it, and which is great. A lot of the officers in the guild that I'm in have that fissure armor. And what they did was, their method was they kind of brought each other down there and little groups at a time and made it a point to get each person that fissure armor. Like, one guy would go and it was his turn, where everybody would pool their shards and ectos together and their money, and they would get just go for the sole purpose of getting that guy his fissure armor. And then the next week or next time they go out, they'd get the next guy his fissure armor. And they've done that for a handful of people, and it's worked out pretty good. But I've never really gotten it myself, so I can't tell you personal experience on how to get it. But I would say that the way my guild does it is probably the best way, where you pool resources and manpower. Seems to be about the best way to do it. Now, the next email I got is from a guy named Matrix, and he tells me a little bit about some of the things he's done in other games. He pretty much tells me he likes the show. He's a clan leader in Battlefield 2. But he has some suggestions towards the end of his email where he says, may I suggest you continue this segment by covering some other basic things like explaining the use of collectors, detailed explanation of how to upgrade armor, which weapons are best suited for which classes, and what are the important quests for lower level characters. And he really got me to thinking on a lot of these topics. Those are some good topics, and I probably more than likely will go over each one of these at a later date. So you can look forward to me covering probably each one of these topics in the future. I also got a voicemail last week concerning the price of items.
Hi, Sean. This is Matthias of Powell, and I want to say thank you for your podcast. It has brought me up out of the newbie world, or not so much of a newbie world. Anyways, I had a question. In your podcast, can you give, like, variable prices on items and what they're going for, or have something like that on your website? I have a hard time keeping an idea of when I try to sell something if I'm getting ripped off on the value of it, or if I'm selling something fairly. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Well, I would say item pricing is one of those things that isn't really set in stone solid enough to where you can really even say even a range, you know, how much a lot of things cost. I know a lot of items, like the higher end green items, especially the monk wands and some of the monk staffs, are worth a lot more, and you can get upwards to 100k for them. But it all pretty much boils down to how much someone's willing to pay for it, how much in demand the item is in. Such as a good example is the Icy Dragon Swords a couple months back or weeks back. Right now, you know, they're worth 10, maybe 20K at the most, just because of the difficulty it is to get them. But when they first came out, people thought they were rare, so people were paying 70, 80K for them. And that's a good example of how you can't really say a definite price for anything. And if I were to put something on my site about the price of items, it would have to be changed daily, probably more than that, you know. So that wouldn't really be a practical thing to do. But I would say, as far as you selling things or buying things, the number one thing I do usually when I sell things is I'll sit in somewhere like Drachner's Forge or Lion's Arch, and I'll kind of watch for a while, at least a half hour, and see if anybody else is selling it or they're willing to buy it, and just see what they're paying for it. And I guess that's one way you can do it. Just kind of poke around out there, see what other people are selling your item for, and see, first of all, if it's in high demand, which would make a big difference. Maybe educate yourself on the mods that the item has. Find out what max is for each one, so you can find out how much this thing's worth. You find out the rarity, you find out the demand, you find out the quality of the item. All these things play a part in it. Plus, it even depends on which city you sell it in. You know, if you go to Ascalon City, there's a lot of people in there selling things for really high prices because they know that that's where all the noobs start out at. That's really unfortunate that people have to do that, but it's the nature of the game, you know. Now, as far as if you're selling materials, a lot of those have more set prices. You can go to the materials NPC, you know, the trader, and see what they're selling it for, and then set it a little bit higher. Like, you can see how much they're buying it for and then how much they're selling it for and kind of go in between there. A good example is like black dye. I believe right now it's you can buy it from the dye trader for $7,000, and when you sell it to them, I believe they buy it from you for $5,000 or maybe $5,500. So you can set your price somewhere in between $5,500 and $7,000, which is why most people sell it for $6,000 or $6,500. And you can do that with most materials, such as wood. A good price for wood is 10 gold per piece, or you can sell a stack of 250 for $2,500, and that price has been pretty steady for a while. You can also do that with runes, where you can check out the rune trader, see how much they're buying runes for versus how much they're selling them for, and set it somewhere in the middle. And this is something that you'll just learn over time with those kind of items, what kind of prices are best. And I've done that also where I'll memorize the prices I want to set for each item for materials and runes, and I'll sit in Drox or somewhere like that and just kind of sit back and watch for when people want to buy these items, and then I'll message them and tell them I have it. And that usually works out a lot better than just saying want to sell over and over again, because people usually ignore that. So good luck with that, and I hope I answered your question, and I hope you can get some pretty fair prices for the things you're selling or fair prices for whatever you may be buying. Now, a few more little miscellaneous things I wanted to talk about before I get into updates. The poll I had on the website last week was what type of group do you use the most to beat Thunderhead Keep? And the choices were random pickup group, guildmates, henchies, or a mix of any of the above. And the one that won out was guildmates with 44% of the vote. Also last week I had the trivia contest on Friday, February 3rd I had that. And the turnout was a little bit better than last time. Seems like announcing it in the message board helped out a little bit, getting people, you know, together for that. And the winner of that was, once again, the Shadowed Blade, who is now 3-for-3 on these contests. And so congratulations to him. He got himself a nice, shocking summit axe and a vial of black dye. And second place was Vice Aquin. He got a shocking summit axe also out of that. And some of the other people that played were Captain Carl, Lady Sinea, Erica Silver Quiver, and Jatoma N was along for the ride, I guess. And the next contest I have already set up in the message board now. So if you're not registered for the message board, go ahead and sign up for it. And check out the post I made today, actually, on the Name That Place contest for the February 5th through 12th. Once again, I have 5 pictures up, and the first person to name all 5 correctly is the winner, with second place going to either the next person to name all 5 correctly or the person with the next highest correct answers. So check that out and submit your answers on the message board for your chance to win anything on my current contest prizes page. Now, if you haven't been to the GuildWars.com website lately, you might want to go check that out. They did a complete redesign of the interface, and it's pretty sharp. I've checked it out with Internet Explorer and Firefox and Safari. The only one I had a problem with really was Safari, which is for the Mac. A couple of the graphics were kind of messed up on it. It had a little bit of interface issues with it. But it's pretty sharp. It's got some flash in there, and it's very image-heavy. Plus, they updated a lot of the features on there, and they kind of mixed the site around a little bit. But they now have a Guild Wars Factions FAQ. And they have over 24 questions and answers about the upcoming game. And they say that it will be expanded on a regular basis to provide additional information as release approaches. They also have a newly expanded gameplay info and lore sections, which I checked out. And the lore section is really nice, especially for the trivia contests. I might find some nice questions in there for the next trivia contest. Hint, hint. They also have a new awards page where they list all the awards that they've won. And speaking of new awards, in the March 2006 issue of Computer Games Magazine, they released their 15th annual Computer Games Awards. And Guild Wars scored 4th place in Best Game, they got Best MMO Debut, and Best Technology. Also on the website, they announced the new Design a Weapon Contest winner. You can go on there and check it out. I'll put a link to the page, but they have all the winners of the Design a Weapon Contest. And this is what they say about that contest and the winners. The world of Guild Wars factions will be filled with many new weapons and items, and some of these were directly conceived and inspired by our players themselves. In November and December of 2005, we invited Guild Wars players to submit their design concepts for weapons for the upcoming campaign of Guild Wars. From the more than 1,000 entries, the Guild Wars team selected 8 winners and approximately 20 honorable mentions. The winning entries displayed below will be present in Guild Wars factions at release. In addition, due to the high quality of so many of the entries, we will be incorporating many of the honorable mentions into Guild Wars and Guild Wars factions in the months following release of the second campaign. We'll post about the new weapon additions on the news page, and we'll be sure to add more images here to show the increasing number of cool new weapons as they were conceived by Guild Wars players. So that's pretty exciting that they're going to incorporate so many new weapons, and not only, like they said, the winners, but also even honorable mentions, they're going to put more in there. So I guess we can look forward to a lot more new weapons in the game. So if you get a chance, check out the new website, the new design at guildwars.com. Check out all the new things they have to offer and the questions and answers sections that they have. And one more thing I wanted to announce before I wrap this episode up. I'm going to be starting a new segment here pretty soon, and actually the scam segment is going to be phasing out a little bit, or at least not be as frequent, only because I think I've gone over most of the major scams, and the only time I'll really do new scam warnings is when it pertains to a certain topic I'll be doing. And a good example of that, when I did the Thunderhead Keep topic, and the scam warning was actually pertaining to that, and I did that a few other times too. And that's pretty much going to be the only time when I introduce a new scam warning, just because there aren't really that many different kinds of scams, but when the new ones come along, I'll be sure to announce them. Now, this new segment I want to introduce is called Skills and Builds, which is something I kind of hinted at early on in the earlier episodes on Guildcast, where it's going to be a technical segment, all about the technicalities of different skills and builds, and kind of dissecting a skill and telling what it's about, what it works best with, like in conjunction with other skills, and how to apply it to your character. Such as, just for example, this is off the top of my head, but such as the skill Blood is Power. It's an elite skill that I recently obtained for my Necromancer. And I started my Necromancer out as a Minion Master, which you can do early on in the game. But further on in the game, Minion Masters are a little bit less useful just because of the rarity of enemies that leave corpses. So I turned my Necro into a Battery Necro. And the Battery Necro's main skill they use is Blood is Power. And in the Skills and Builds segment, I'll pick one skill or maybe one build, and I'll explain the importance of the skill, break it down into what it can do, and how it can work well with other skills and spells. And maybe there's some ways that they can interact with the other ones that you may not have thought about. But this will actually be something that a guildmate of mine will do, and he'll tell me about, because I'm not very technically savvy on a lot of the skills in this game. But a guildmate of mine will give me the information, and I'll read it on the podcast. And I don't want to announce too much more yet, because it's not fine-tuned completely. But you can look forward to that. And I know a lot of people not only have been requesting information about the basics of the game, which seems to be the number one topic, but also the other side of the spectrum, which is the advanced use of skills. So you can look forward to that and some of the other things I've talked about in this episode. I thank you all for listening, but look forward to next week where I'll have a longer episode with a more in-depth topic. And if you get a chance, go ahead and check out the website at guildcast.com. Check out the message boards at guildcast.com/forum. You can register yourself on there so you can take part in the contests and other daily discussions we have on there. You can email me at sean@guildcast.com. You can also check out a few other features I've put on there, such as I have a MySpace page if you're into MySpace. You can check that out. But until next week, be sure to tell your friends, tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.